Now, with the latest from the world of technology, this is the Tech Guide Podcast with Stephen Fenwick.
Lots to talk about.
Tech Guide.
It's a very well-rounded product, combines great design, great technology, lots of excellent features.
Tech Guide.
This is why Samsung has seen a huge surge, why their profits are up.
Keeping you updated and educated, this is the Tech Guide Podcast.
This is not an ultrabook. If you're looking for something small, slim and lightweight, then you need to look elsewhere.
Tech Guide.
Probably one of the most impressive little devices I've seen in quite a while.
Now, from the studios of techguide.com.au, Stephen Fenwick.
Tech Guide episode 83. Hello and welcome to the podcast that keeps you updated and educated about the latest consumer technology. Thanks for listening and thanks for downloading. My name is Stephen Fenwick, editor of techguide.com.au. On this week's show, we're going to kick off with a $51,000 turntable made from whiskey casks. We'll also look at the popular but addictive game that has us all in a flap and how we can outsource romance ahead of Valentine's Day. In the Tech Guide reviews, we'll check out the new Bose SoundLink 3 Bluetooth speaker and the JotScript Fine Point Stylus for your iPad. On this week's Tech Guide interview, we chat with Greg Slay and David Fletcher from ANZ Stadium about the arena's high-speed Wi-Fi network and what it means for fans. And in this week's Tech Guide Help Desk, we'll talk about what you can do if you get hacked. And it's all brought to you by Netgear, Australia's number one brand of home Wi-Fi products. A big show, so let's get cracking. Well, there are many audiophiles out there, many may be listening right now to this podcast, who are not afraid to spend a little bit of money when it comes to getting the best audio equipment they can afford. And I'm talking tens of thousands of dollars that people are willing to spend to get an excellent sound, a sound that pleases them. And one company that helps them in that process is a company called Linn. That's L-I-N-N. They're a Scottish company who's been producing high-end audio equipment for now 40 years. Well, they've released their latest product to celebrate that 40th birthday, and it is a turntable, but not any old turntable. One of their iconic turntables is the Sondek turntable. And what they've done to celebrate the 40th year of their company is they've created a special limited edition, limited to 40 versions, the Sondek LP12 turntable, but with a difference. It's made from solid oak whiskey casks. So they've teamed up with Highland Park, a Scottish whiskey distillery, to create this limited edition turntable. And they've come up with a remarkable product. And as I mentioned, it's only limited to 40 items. So if you want to get one of those 40, you need to pay $51,295 for the privilege. Now, there's a lot of people out there who love the sound of vinyl. 2013 was the largest year, the most sales in a year for more than 20 years when it comes to vinyl. So we've been saying it for a long time. Vinyl is making a bit of a comeback, and that's evidence of that comeback right there. Anyone who's listened to vinyl compared to modern electric music, let's call it, digital music, I should say, will appreciate the difference. I think anyone who's old enough to remember vinyl for a start, to own vinyl, and now has heard what we hear today, the digital music that we hear today, that's why I think there's a large number of people who are returning to vinyl. Anyone under a certain age, I think if you're younger than 30, I don't think vinyl's going to play a big part in your memory of music. You've probably been brought up on the digital music. iPod is what you listen to, your music's on the go. Back in the day when vinyl was king, these audiophiles used to take the time to sit in a room, to set themselves up, to listen to music. It's not something they just did in the background. It wasn't just background music for them. It was foreground music for them. They loved to listen to their vinyl records. And There were rooms dedicated. They had a room, a listening room, and it was the speakers were set up in a certain way. It was a ritual for them. And Lynn is the sort of company that's been supporting that type of passionate listener for so many years. Now, this Lynn turntable, the Sondek LP12, to celebrate that 40th edition, you also get a 40-year-old bottle of Highland Park Scotch. So if you can afford the $51,295 price tag, then you'll be able to kick back with a drink, a 40-year-old Scotch, and listen to the sounds of your classic vinyl. You're listening to Tech Guide.
Tech Guide. This is Tech Guide with Stephen Fenech.
Well, there's a game that has captured our imagination and at the same time caused us endless frustration and anger. The game I'm talking about is Flappy Bird. This is a very simple game that was created, from what I hear, in just 2 days by a gentleman named Dong Nguyen. Now, the game has, it's a very simple game. All you need to do is to tap the screen to help your bird maintain some altitude as it navigates the passages through the gaps in the pipes along. It's a sort of scrolling game. So it scrolls left to right. You have to navigate your bird through the gaps in the pipes by changing its height. But the more you tap, the higher it goes. The less you tap, the lower it comes, and you have to then steer the bird through those pipes. Very simple design. It's got that quite a 64-bit look to it, and it's taken the world by storm. There are so many people playing this game. Now, it's a free game that is supported by ads. So what the creator has managed to do, because people are playing this game addictively over and over again, trying to better that high score, spending so much time on the game, at the same time all these ads are being served up in the background, it's reached a point where the creator was making $51,000 per day, more than that, every single day. So what's happened most recently is, apart from the game being the number one free app, the attention that this created around Nguyen, the creator, has become so overwhelming that he has actually made the remarkable decision of actually pulling down the game. He said he can't bear the attention. There are a lot of people contacting him on Twitter and expressing their frustration. They can't get through the game. All that attention has had such an effect on him that he's pulled the game down. Try looking for it on iTunes. If you've already got it on your iPhone, then you're one of the lucky ones. If you haven't got that game, if you've heard about the game and want to download it, you're out of luck. So it's an amazing thing where it's gone from number one to being nowhere. I published a story the other day on Tech Guide offering people that still have the game, that is, some hints and tips on how to get a decent high score. And part of the trick is just timing, of course. But another tip is to tap in a certain part of the screen so that you're not obscuring the view. Because there's a lot of people who tap, say, in the middle of the screen or the top, the bottom third of the screen, and they're actually blocking the pipes. They're blocking part of their view. Another tip is to maybe even use a stylus so that the length of the stylus actually puts your hand even further away from the screen so that, again, it's not blocking your view. Last tip I offered in that story was to quit your other apps, because it was a little bit buggy, Flappy Bird. If you're coming up to a high score, there have been cases where it just crashes. But in this instance, if you close down those apps, even if you want to take even more drastic measures, if you're using an iPhone, put on the activate the do not disturb mode so that you're not going to get interrupted by a call. Because the last thing you want to do if you're approaching that high score is have it interrupted by a phone call. But anyway, if you don't have Flappy Bird now, you can only hear about it unless you can borrow someone else's iPhone who happened to download the game before it was taken down. Hopefully, Mr. Nguyen will put it back up there. He'll come to his senses and just put up with earning $50,000, more than $50,000 per day. It's rather extraordinary that he's turning back that kind of cash. But it must have been very frustrating for him to actually go to those lengths to pull this game down. Hopefully he'll change his mind. Flappy Bird, if you haven't played it, you might have done yourself a favour. Well, it's early in the week here. It's the 10th of February, and Valentine's Day is only a few days away. And there is, it's obviously that time of year where you want to romance your partner and come up, maybe come up with a nice gift or organise a nice dinner or a lunch or even a picnic. Problem is, though, that there are in this busy world where we're becoming even more time poor. And actually having to organise these kinds of things, to organise that romance, is actually a little bit hard. It's not everyone has the time to do it. So in steps a company called Airtasker. Now, this is a community marketplace where you can bid for jobs, that they put jobs up on the site. You might be a client who wants to organise some kind of task, some job, and they'll take a look at it and put a price on it. Now, in the case of Valentine's Day, they've done just that. So there's some romance-related tasks that they're prepared to do to help you complete a nice Valentine's Day. Now, I'll give you some examples. I've written these on my story on Tech Guide. They're offering. It will cost. If you want to organize a romantic picnic, for example. So the client requested, there was a spot they had in mind for the picnic. So not only was their job to set up the spot, to get everything ready, but also to guard the spot, to make sure they got the nice spot until the client arrived, and with their partner, of course. And when they do, they need to fade into the background. For that organization, $280. Another task was to organize a marriage proposal. So one Airtasker job involved a few people wearing T-shirts. Now, what the job meant, what the job was designed to do, was for one of the people wearing the T-shirt to accidentally bump into the client's girlfriend, and for her to notice the T-shirt, the personalized T-shirt this person was wearing. But also lined up with three other people wearing T-shirts that completed the message. The message was, "Will you marry me?" Now, to organize that marriage proposal, Airtasker charged just $25. It was organized pretty quickly. Speaking of quickly, another customer wanted to have a rose purchased and delivered to his wife. And when he posted the task on the Airtasker website, Airtasker then put the job out there and got someone so quickly to agree to the job that they actually arrived too early and had to wait for the client's wife to arrive so that they could be given this rose. For that task, $50. So Airtasker specialise in all kinds of jobs and tasks like this. It's not just about Valentine's Day, of course. They've had other tasks where, you know, people need stuff organised, they need stuff delivered, they need stuff picked up. So when you can't do it yourself, this outsourcing is what Airtasker is all about. You can check them out at airtasker.com. I've written a little story about it, and you may have a task that you need outsourced as well. And judging by those prices, they're not too expensive. I'm sure people can afford $50, $25, even to organize a romantic picnic. $280, that's not a bad price. You can read more about that story at techguide.com.au.
Keeping you updated and educated. This is Tech Guide with Stephen Finney.
Tech Guide.
The Tech Guide podcast is proudly brought to you by Netgear, Australia's number one Wi-Fi brand. Well, the Netgear Nighthawk is out now. It's the smart Wi-Fi router. You can get the fastest Wi-Fi currently available with the Netgear R700 Nighthawk smart Wi-Fi router. Built with gaming, streaming, and mobile devices in mind, this next-generation gigabit Wi-Fi router has a 1 gigahertz dual-core processor and delivers the ultimate in Wi-Fi speed and range, so you can enjoy lag-free gaming or video streaming with less buffering around your home. The Netgear Nighthawk is packed with advanced features, from prioritizing gaming, music, and video streaming to automatic backup using ReadyShare Vault for PCs or Apple Time Machine for Macs. So if you're looking for the ultimate in speed, range, and advanced features for your home network, upgrade to the Netgear Nighthawk R700 smart Wi-Fi router and get ready for the extreme. Check out the Nighthawk at netgear.com.au/Nighthawk.
Tech Guide.
Now, a Tech Guide review with Stephen Fenwick. Tech Guide.
Well, you know, whenever Bose make an announcement, you know it's because they've come up with a brand new product. Now, Bose aren't like many other companies. What Bose does is that it waits, it develops its technology, and when it's good and ready, that's when it makes the announcement. It doesn't try to be the first. It doesn't try to be the biggest. It tries to be the best. And that's what Bose has done with their brand new SoundLink speaker. The SoundLink 3 is the very latest speaker device, the Bluetooth speaker, that has just been released. Now, it is an all-new design, comes with a few improvements on board as well. One of those improvements is battery performance. Now, we all know Bluetooth speakers are quite a product in the market now, a very popular category of product, and Bose is up there with a few of their own. Not only this brand-new SoundLink speaker, this SoundLink 3 Bluetooth speaker, they've also got the SoundLink Mini, which has been doing very well in the market. This is a larger speaker, so it offers a bigger sound, a bit more depth and clarity. It's got four neodymium transducers on board and dual opposing passive radiators, so there's no distortion. It's also got a new digital signal processing algorithm. So top to bottom, you know you're going to get premium sound. What it's also done, it's improved with this version the electronics on board, so you can actually get a little bit more volume. And, of course, with no distortion. So you're maintaining that clear sound, that clear audio with no distortion whatsoever. The latest Bluetooth A2DP standard is on board, so you can stream it gives you a more reliable stream. You can. It's got a usual Bluetooth 10 to 15 meter radius. There's also a new LED indicator light, so you know that when you're pairing, and it also makes it easier to switch to another device that's in the memory. It can remember up to 6 of the most recently paired Bluetooth devices in its memory. The Bose SoundLink Bluetooth Speaker 3 is available now. It's priced at $399. What it also comes with, though, is some accessory covers, and there's 5 different colors that you can purchase. There's gray, there's blue, there's orange, olive color, and also pink. So not only can you personalize it, it also offers a little bit of protection as well. The size of the product, it's 25.4 centimeters wide, 12.7 centimeters high, 5.1 centimeters deep, and it weighs just 1.36 kilograms. In other words, it's very portable. The onboard battery, which I mentioned, has been improved, can run up to 14 hours before you need to reach for the PowerPoint. Those accessory covers that I mentioned a minute ago, $49.95 each, and that's on top of the $399 price for the Bose SoundLink Speaker 3. The Bluetooth speaker from Bose. You can read more about the Bose SoundLink Bluetooth Speaker 3 at techguide.com.au.
This is Tech Guide with Stephen Fenwick.
Tech Guide.
Keeping you updated and educated.
Now, there are a lot of people who like to use a stylus when they use their tablets, and some like to use it on their smartphones as well. I can remember when Steve Jobs famously said, there is no need to ship a stylus, when he announced the first iPhone back in 2007. He said the best stylus you could ever ask for is right there on your hand. You got 5 of them. They're your fingers. But the products have developed in such a way now where there are a growing number of people who would like to use a stylus with their iPad to jot down notes right on the screen, offer that kind of interactivity rather than having to leave finger marks on the screen. It offers that added level of convenience. Now, traditionally, a stylus has been used mainly for navigation. So you can navigate your pages. To write with a stylus, it's a little bit chunky. The end of the stylus is usually about 6 millimeters wide. So you're going to get quite a fat font when you're writing your letters. If you need to take notes, you can probably only fit like 4 words per half page, so it kind of defeats the purpose. Well, along comes the JotScript stylus. Now, this is a stylus with a difference. First of all, it's got Bluetooth on board, and it can be paired with a number of note-taking apps, including Penultimate, which is created by Evernote. In fact, the JotScript is labeled the Evernote Edition. So it uses Bluetooth, but what you don't need to do is actually physically pair it in the Bluetooth settings. You need to turn Bluetooth on, activate that app, and it will find it. And then you can know when it's found it when you start writing on the screen with this Jot script. Now, Jot script, it's more a fine point stylus. It's a stylus with a difference. It's only got a 1.9 millimeter tip. So now you can write on the screen as if you're writing on paper. It even gives you the same kind of nib feedback as if you're writing with a real pen on paper. So now you can take those fine notes, you can fit plenty of notes on a single page. There's even a zoom feature. So you can, it actually magnifies a part of the screen that you're writing on, and it naturally moves the screen as you're writing, so it keeps up with your handwriting. But the end result of that is that you can fit even more notes on a single page. So gone are those chunky notes you're taking with a traditional stylus. And in its place, you got notes that look like they were written on paper using the Jot script. Now, the Jot script also allows you, and we've done our review on Tech Guide. I had my wrist and my palm, the bottom of my palm on the screen, and I could still write on the iPad. There are some styluses that don't allow you this multi-touch where you've got, say, your wrist on the bottom of the screen. It doesn't actually write properly when it does when you're doing that. Not so with the Jot script. I had my wrist and my palm on the bottom of the screen while I was writing at the top of the screen, and it worked out fine. The Jot script is powered by a single AAA battery, so you know it's going to last you quite a long time. And if you just have a spare AAA in your bag, if it does battery runs out, you can just pop a new one straight in rather than having to wait to recharge it. Jot script is available now. It's priced at $119.99. If you're someone who likes to draw, who takes a lot of notes, who just wants to lead a more paperless existence and just use their iPad or iPhone, it's an iOS device, I should remind people. It's not built for Android. The Jot script is an iOS, works with iOS devices only. But if you're one of these people who likes to draw, sketch, write notes, rather than having to carry a notepad and pen, a traditional notepaper and pen, the Jot script would suit you down to the ground. You want to read my full report? It's at techguide.com.au.
Tech Guide. Now, a Tech Guide interview.
Tech Guide.
Now, last week I went up to ANZ Stadium. Now, I am a South supporter and love going to ANZ Stadium, but the season hasn't started for 2014 yet. But there was an announcement that ANZ Stadium had to make, and it was to unveil their new high-speed Wi-Fi network that is being deployed in the arena. It's going to kick off from March the 6th, which is the first round of the new NRL season, South Sydney versus the Roosters, and I will be there for sure. But this new network is modelled off the same setup as was created at MetLife Stadium, which was the scene of the recent Super Bowl. Now, what this means for fans is that they'll be able to not only access the internet at high speed, access social media, but it will turn the arena into more of an interactive venue. So imagine being able to view a replay on your tablet or your smartphone, or be able to interact with the scoreboard, find out information, order food from your seat, or order drinks. So this sort of connectivity is going to create a lot of possibilities. At last week's event, they had a player from each of the five NRL clubs that call ANZ Stadium home. And those clubs are South Sydney, Canterbury Bulldogs, Parramatta, West Tigers and St George. But we went along and had a chance to chat to Greg Slay, the event and business development manager from ANZ Stadium, as well as chatting with David Fletcher, who's actually ANZ Stadium's IT manager, who told us all about this new high-speed network. Here's what they had to say earlier. Well, we're here at ANZ Stadium with Greg and David. Thanks for joining us, guys. Pretty big announcement today with the switch on, let's just say, of the new Wi-Fi connectivity.
Yeah, we're very excited, Steve, that we've now got the opportunity to enable the full 83,000 patrons who come to the venue the opportunity to hook onto our free barrier-free Wi-Fi network starting on the 6th of March with the Rabbitohs Roosters NRL game.
So this is the first of its kind in Australia, isn't it, this kind of deployment?
Certainly the first of its kind on that scale. First opportunity for everybody in the stadium to be able to access Wi-Fi in the stadium, yeah.
Sure, and David, this is modelled after the installation at MetLife Stadium, the recent host of the Super Bowl, is that right?
That's correct, yes. We've got something like 700 wireless access points, all Cisco, going to probably 70-odd Cisco switches, so it's a big install.
So the number of fans who come to the game now will have that that connectivity, because oftentimes, and I've found this myself, you try to connect to your operator, there's so many people in the stadium, you don't often get through the cells in, aren't capable to handle that kind of load. I know during Origin time that's a problem. Is that one of the reasons why this is done?
Yeah, I guess this is the opportunity to be different things to different people. So for the first time, people will actually have an opportunity to send a text message or make a phone call at half time in Origin, which is not physically possible based on the network right now. If people want to check in and upload photos to Facebook, then that's fine, you can do that. And ultimately, working with the hirers, if that becomes an opportunity for people to live stream video, look for stats, or find some other parts of the stadium experience, whether it be an easier way to find a toilet that doesn't have anybody using it. I mean, that's the opportunities available to us now.
Sure. You mentioned Cisco was involved, and I understand Telstra. Can you tell us a little bit more about the installation, how long it took, and is it complete?
Well, no, it's not complete yet. We're rushing madly around still installing access points, but the guys who are doing it are working frantically, and we'll get there on March the 6th.
Now, with that many access points, you'd expect a pretty strong signal no matter where you sit in the stadium, I'm assuming, David.
That's correct, all the way up to level 6. And pointing out what you just said before, with this, we'll be able to offload a lot of the data onto the wireless network, which does free up the mobile network, so you can make that call.
Is it? I foresee maybe the possibility where the players might run out on the field with their smartphones. They can text halfway during a game now.
Well, they could. I mean, it'd be great if they could. But I mean, what I want the players to do is maybe wear GPS. So it's the perfect example of an opportunity where the teams are wearing GPS. The stats are coming back to a hirer who wants to share that with the public. It's the sort of bespoke information you've now got the potential to provide to the punters who are looking for it.
Absolutely, yeah. I do know that a lot of the high-performance coaches in each of the clubs, they do have GPS data. So that'd be so live stats, live information. That'd be a first for football.
Absolutely, it's a first in Australia. And it's the sort of opportunity that now exists. It just remains to be seen how the hirers want to harness it and actually provide that information to the patrons.
Just on that, the hirers, we were talking, of course, South Sydney, the West Tigers, Parramatta, St George Illawarra, have I left anyone out?
Parramatta
as well, of course. They're obviously going to want to do different things for their own use. So this really frees up a lot of possibilities. That interaction with the crowd, social media, it sort of takes on a new dimension, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think that's the most important thing from our point of view. I mean, the stadium's put the system in to enable the hirers to do what the hirers want to do. So I've got no doubt that the NRL clubs will use it differently to the AFL, to the ARU, or anybody else that walks into the stadium. Who knows what a concert does with this at some stage in the future. So what we've done is set up the backbone. The opportunity now exists for the hirers to do what they want to do.
Well, really exciting news, and look, I can't wait for the footy season to start, and of course all the concerts and everything. You do host a lot of things out here. David and Greg, really appreciate your time.
Thanks, Steve.
Tech Guide. Now, answering all your tech questions, the Tech Guide Help Desk.
Well, this week's Tech Guide Help Desk is actually a follow-on from a phone call that I had on my 2GB Tech Guide show. And it was a gentleman named Bill who called up and was frustrated with the fact that there was a lot of data being used on his home network, his Optus home network, so he's got an Optus internet connection. Yet he insists that he's had computers turned off. He wasn't even at home when this data was being downloaded. He went even on one day, went from having 50% of his allowance used up to 100% of his monthly 120 gig allowance used up in a single day. And he has been on the phone to Optus trying to work out what happened. We can envisage a couple of scenarios of what may have happened. Let's look at scenario number one. We think it's possible that a hacker has actually hacked his modem and actually included their device on his set of MAC addresses. So what they've done, they've come in the back end of the modem somehow, got through the security, put their device as one of the accepted devices that can access the network. And that way they could be contributing to the data downloads and using up that 120 gig per month, while Bill he's had computers turned off. He's saying that he's not doing anything. So in that scenario, what he needs to do, a couple of things. He needs to reset his modem. So turn the modem off, reboot it, restart it, reset it to factory settings. change the name of the network. So say, for example, the network's called Bill's Network. Change it completely. Change also the password. So you can wipe that clean, start again, and then monitor that situation. So if there's still data being downloaded, you know that it's not because the modem has been hacked. Right. Here's scenario number two, which also may be a possibility. Now, it is not too hard for a clever cyber criminal to install a Trojan horse to actually take over your computer, to have something running in the background, some malicious software that makes your computer form part of what they call a botnet. Would you believe there are these botnets out there controlled by these cyber criminals that can, the botnets can be made up of tens of thousands of computers. Now, what do they do with them? They can actually deploy these computers to send spam, to bombard sites. You know, that's the DDoS attacks on sites. And they can just use their internet connections and use them, steer them around how they see fit to gain for whatever they're after. So they're sending out the spam, the DDoS attacks as well. These things exist. What it sounds like is that maybe that is a possibility, and that could account for the high data usage. Now, you have to remember, data downloads on your normal broadband connection, there are the download counts as against your data limit, but uploads count as well. If you're uploading information, that is included in your limit. For example, if you're downloading 50 gigabytes and uploading 70 or 20 gigabytes, that adds up to 70 gigabytes. So that comes off your allowance. So it's not just downloads. Uploads count as well. And in the case of if his computer is part of a botnet, those uploads, that could be accounting for his high data usage. What he needs to do in that case, he needs to get his computer re-imaged, he needs to update his internet security, he needs to start from scratch. And of course, he needs to back up all of his data before he does any of that. So that's a look at the call that I received from Bill on my 2GB show every Saturday. Tune in to Tech Guide on 2GB, 10 a.m. every Saturday, and you too could have me answering your question live on air or here on the Tech Guide podcast. And that's our show for another week. Be sure to head over to techguide.com.au if you want to read more about what we've talked about on the show. You can also get in touch by email at info@techguide.com.au. A special thanks to our sponsors, Netgear, the brand you can trust for all your Wi-Fi needs. Thanks for listening. It's been great having your company. We look forward to you tuning in again next week. So until then, stay safe and stay connected.